together. Well, take your Bible and turn to 1 Corinthians with me and try to share with you what the Lord has burdened my heart with this morning. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, the last part of the book of 1 Corinthians, I want you to think about God gives opportunities. God-given opportunities. We sometimes just take things for granted. I know we're guilty of that. I am. I'm guilty of taking things for granted. But opportunities come and opportunities go. I think of old slogans that try to identify that. I think about one my daddy used to use a lot. He'd say, "You better strike the iron when it's hot." You ever heard that one? You strike the iron when it's hot. And of course, that's talking about blacksmithing and working with metal. Very practical, but very true. And so opportunities come and opportunities go. And we find that in the Bible, that God gives opportunities. I mean, God opens doors, God closes doors. We find that in Scripture. When you think about the opportunity to be saved, we don't know, you know, the length of that, how broad or wide an opportunity that is, but we know that time could come to a close. And certainly it comes to a close when one dies without Christ. We know that their opportunities are over, because Jesus said, "On earth hath the Son of Man power to forgive sins." So we don't find redemption after death. We find judgment, appointed unto man once to die, and then after this, the judgment. But so we think about opportunities. Paul's talking about an opportunity here in 1 Corinthians chapter 16. And basically, it's an opportunity to serve the Lord. And that's my burden this morning, is that we see and understand and take the opportunities that God provides for us to serve the Lord. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, notice in verse 7, "For I will not see you now by the way, but I trust to tarry a while with you, if the Lord permit. But I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost, for a great door and effectual is open unto me, and there's many adversaries. Now if Timotheus comes, see that he may be with you without fear, for he worketh the work of the Lord, as I also do." Well, of course, the expression given here in the Word of God was Paul speaking of a great opportunity, a door of opportunity. A great door, and effectual, means it's powerful. It's a great opportunity that God has opened unto him. Of course, he identifies, as it always is in God's work, there's many adversaries. And many times you don't have to go very far to find the adversary. They're usually close at hand. But as we think about this God-given opportunities, I want us to understand that it doesn't just come to everybody. Many, I believe, of God's people miss the opportunities that God presents them just for the reason maybe of neglect, unconcern, really no desire. But in order to understand this place of opportunity, I think what you and I must realize is that we must be, as a child of God, surrendered and yielded to the will of God. And, you know, we find many examples of that in Scripture of people who struggle with doing God's will and wanting to do their own will. I mean, you think about the man Moses down in Egypt. It comes to his heart to deliver the Egyptians, but he had the right desire. He just got ahead of God, didn't he? He killed the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. And of course, that caused confusion and fear in the Hebrews. And They in turn, when he began to try to help two Hebrews that were striving together, they said, "Well, you're going to kill us like you killed the Egyptian." They just didn't understand. He got ahead of God. He confused those who's trying to serve. You and I must be surrendered to the will of God. To surrender to God's timing. You notice that in verse 7. He said, I plan to do that. I trust to tarry a while with you. But notice what he said. If the Lord permit. You know, the Bible teaches us to talk that way. And it's not just rhetoric. It's not just empty words. But we are to say, if the Lord will. If the Lord will. And that's more than just an expression. It's an acknowledgement of being under and being led by the will of God. I'm sure if you've been saved any amount of time at all, you know what it is to be out of God's will. It's not very pleasant. In fact, it's not pleasant at all. But to be surrendered, how do we see and embrace this opportunity that God gives? Well, we must be surrendered to His will, and then we also must get in time with Him in His timing. I've already spoke of Moses, who I think got out of time with God. Notice the expression, I will tarry, but I trust to tarry a while with you. Waiting on the Lord. You know, the Lord Jesus told His disciples in Acts chapter 1, wait for the promise of the Father. No doubt they were eager to go. They were anxious to go forth and preach the gospel. He said, wait for the promise. You know, sometimes in our life as a Christian, that's one of the hardest things we have to do is to wait. We're guilty of praying, Lord, give me patience and give it to me now. You know, right now, I need it right now. Well, patience, we know, has to be learned through tribulation. Patience. Does anybody need patience today? Sure. And our society, and we've moved to a place in our society where we try to alleviate and take away the patience that is required. We want it all instant. We want an answer now. We want, you know, a solution now. We want the problem resolved now. God just many times doesn't move that way. You remember this principle. It's true. Mark it down. It is absolutely true. God is more interested in changing us than He is just simply changing our circumstances. Because a lot of times, if we'll think about it and take an evaluation, a lot of our prayers, I use that word too loosely, but sadly, our prayers at times are, God, change this over here, you know, fix this over here and fix this over here. And God is saying, I want to fix you. I want to use this over here to fix you. I want to use this over here to fix you. The irritations in life, the troubles in life. You say, are they there by just coincidence? No, they're ordered from God. Divinely ordered from God to work on our heart, teaching us to wait upon the Lord. I love Psalms 27, verse 14. Wait on the Lord, the Bible says. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. You see some wonderful promises in those verses. He says, and be of good courage. Wait upon the Lord and be of good courage. What often fails in our life is courage. Courage, another good word for courage is strength and faith. Just waiting upon the Lord, trusting in His time and in His plan. He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, upon the Lord. Many know Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength and mount up with wings as eagles. Amen. God raising us up as we wait upon Him. God's timing. We're talking about opportunities. getting in the will of God, waiting upon the timing of the Lord. But then, of course, obedience, just obeying the Lord in doing what he's called us to do. The Bible says to obey is better than sacrifice. And to be obedient to what God has already told us to do. Just being obedient. Being busy in the Lord's work. Notice he said that about Timotheus in verse 10. Now Timotheus comes, see that he may be with you without fear, for he worketh the work of the Lord, as I also do. Can that expression be said of us today? And I'm not saying just merely the times that we come and worship together. But listen, our Christianity is really out there. Amen. This is just the worship time. As we go out into the world, that's where we're to let our light shine. That's where we're to do our predominant work for the Lord. This is worship. Out there is to be work, of course. We're talking about opportunities. God giving opportunities. We read in the book of the Revelation, chapter 3, that God, he opens doors and he closes doors. The ark was a unique vessel. Many say it looked more like a huge coffin in its design, which would perfectly fit with death, that we are dying to self and dying to the world. But the Bible tells us that God shut that door to the ark. He shut Noah in that ark. Noah, the Bible says, was a preacher of righteousness. As he was building the ark, he was preaching. I'm sure there were those that thought he was nuts, without a doubt. I'm sure those that doubted what he was saying, doubted his methods, his mode, his message, and all of that. For it had never rained before. Never rained before. Genesis says that a mist would come up, a heavy, heavy dew, and water the earth. But now God was going to do something unique. He was going to flood the earth. He was going to destroy the earth. Noah, the preacher of righteousness, preached, get ready for the storm, get ready for the flood, get ready for destruction. Come into the ark, the place of safety. The Bible said he preached for over 100 years, preaching, preparing. But then God shut the door. God shut the door. The opportunity was there. The Lord Jesus said in John chapter 10 and verse 9, he said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. If you're here this morning without Christ, don't just assume that that door will always be open. Like Noah in his day, that door could be shut. That opportunity to be saved could end. The illustration of the 10 virgins, I believe, is a reference to the nation of Israel, but nevertheless it gives us the principle that there was an invitation given, an offer to come, but then the Bible says, but the door then was shut. Later, the 5 foolish virgins come and say, open to us. The master within says, I know you not. Depart. What's that teaching us? Opportunities come and opportunities go. If one is not saved and does not know the Lord, it is foolish and false for them to assume that they'll always have an opportunity to be saved. That's simply not true. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Right now. God's clock says now. Now. The devil says wait. The devil says delay. And God says now. The opportunity to be saved. But then the opportunity to serve. Again, verse 9, 1 Corinthians 16, 9. For a great door, an effectual, powerful. A great door and effectual is open unto me. Are you going to step through it? Do you see it, first of all? Do you understand the opportunities God gives you to serve? You know, the clock is ticking for all of us. Ecclesiastes talks about as you and I grow old, there'll come a day we don't have much pleasure in life. That's going to happen. That's the reality of growing older. You say, preacher, what do? Well, we do what we can now. Now, serving the Lord, seeing those doors of opportunity, a great door, effectual, is open unto me. An opportunity to serve the Lord. An opportunity to share the gospel with one who's lost. An opportunity to serve the Lord through just faithful, loving, and caring for others. People are much more interested in how much we care than really how much we know. That's so true. The Bible compels us in Jude that we'd have compassion, and some having compassion making a difference. And truly, compassion does make a difference. Well, let's think about what's inside this door for a minute. First of all, said there's many adversaries. You know, for some, that's enough to turn them away. Sadly, too much of our motto is easy does it best. I think of the parable of the sower, when the sower went out and sowed, and some fell among the thorns, and the Bible describes that as the cares of this life, how it chokes the word of God, the troubles, the cares, the tribulation of this life. So many say, well, if it's going to be difficult, I'll not be a part. Well, friend, I promise you it's going to be difficult. But can I also promise you it's going to be rewarding? You know, Paul had to be a Southerner because he talked like this. He said, I reckon that the suffering of this life is not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed. What's inside? Well, there's adversaries, sure. There's persecution. 2 Timothy 3:12 tells us that all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Philippians chapter 1 talks about the suffering of Christ. Yes, there's going to be persecution. Yes, there's going to be trials. But oh, thank God, there's going to be the joy of serving the Lord. The joy of serving Jesus. And also to think about the leadership of the Lord. He's like our shepherd, you know. He leads us beside the still waters. His rod and his staff, they comfort us. You know, and I've lived long enough as a Christian to realize that the safest place to be on planet Earth is to be right smack dab in the will of God. Amen? I mean, you want to have heartache and heartbreak, Christian, you step out of the will of God, and you'll find that the way of the transgressor is hard. But friend, there's something so special when you're able to say, he walks with me, and he talks with me. And he tells me I'm his own. And I tell you, never more fitting for me personally was just these blessed old hymns and these songs that remind me of his presence. How faithful he is to be with us. Though we're not faithful so many times, and I'm so guilty, but God is faithful. God is faithful. And he promised to reward us, did he not? I mean, even down to something so insignificant and small as just giving a cup of cold water, the Lord promised to reward those that serve him, those that follow him. Well, opportunities come, and opportunities go. Growing up in our home church in Missouri, Deb's stepdad for several years led the singing in our church. And many times, like Ryler, he would sing the specials. And he had one song that he would sing, you know, quite often. And probably an old song you probably heard before, but it's just sort of welded on my heart that I think about from time to time. And it simply says, wasted years, wasted years.
Oh, how foolish. And I don't remember a lot of the other words. But you know, there's such a truth in that song of how sadly, many times as Christians, we waste the opportunities that God gives us to serve Him. The poet said, "There 'tis one life will soon be passed, and only what's done for Christ will last." That's so true. So true. Opportunities. Opportunities. Let's bow together. Father, we thank You for the blessed opportunities that You give us to serve You, to know You, to love You. And Lord, I pray You'll help each of us here this morning, God, to see and realize that these opportunities are fleeting. They are passing away. Times to serve You, to love You, to witness for You. God, to share the gospel with our family and friends. Lord, so many opportunities that You put before us, but many times we miss it. We don't step in that door. God, I pray You burden us today. Burden us today. Have the courage to step through those doors of opportunity. Lord, to share our faith and share the love of Christ with so many that's lost and on the way to hell. We pray You'll bless this time, God. Speak to our hearts mightily, we pray.